Girl from Ipanema, based off of Ipanema Beach, which is in Rio, Brazil.
Empanada?
No.
Empanada.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, December 18th, 2017. This is our final show of the year. And for this show, the entire crew of elves is here to celebrate. I am Eric, he is Tristan, and we've got Kyle, the research expert, Soppy, and Leo, the editorial watchdog, Howell, and of course, pushing all those buttons, Gabe, the best producer in the biz, Bassane. How's everyone doing this fine day?
It's our most wonderful show of the year.
Wow, that didn't take long.
That was beautiful.
As we say, we got that one out of the way real quick.
I think you need to sing in each part of the show. So
each part? Oh.
In a second. So we'll do two halves today, like normal. First half of the show, of course, all the movement from the winter meetings, lots of players finding homes, and some of them changing teams, some of them coming from places afar. Later in the show, of course, we'll answer your hash browns as well, with the expertise of Kyle, and see if we can figure everything out for all the questions you have. We've got a lot to do on today's show. Let's get right to it with the buzz. All right, so lots of players in the MLB changed teams, whether trades or signings and whatnot, but obviously the biggest move of the past couple weeks, I would think, is Japanese hitter/pitcher Shohei Ohtani finding a new place to play. This is with the Los Angeles Angels. And Tristan and I will get to the ramifications statistically and where we rank him and all that. But Leo is here. He knows the suits in the building and the engineers. So, Leo, tell us how ESPN will handle this.
Well, I would love to tell you exactly how we're going to handle this, but I can't give exact answers. And I know that that's not the answer that literally anyone wants, especially all of the diehard fans, ourselves included, who are thinking about fantasy baseball in December. Obviously, we are too. Our engineers are too. Our suits are too. Everyone's thinking about fantasy baseball, getting it ready for the season. We don't have a 100% definitive answer on how Shohei Ohtani is going to work right now that we're willing to talk about. Obviously, we're making decisions and we're doing things. We're not going to say exactly what's going to happen. I will say this. A founding principle of ESPN Fantasy Baseball is that pitchers get pitching stats and hitters get hitting stats. And I would say that you can feel comfortable in knowing that just like you don't get a home run from Madison Bumgarner if he's starting as just a pitcher, you're not going to get a home run from Shohei Ohtani if he's starting as just a pitcher. How you would start him as a hitter, I don't know if we know that yet for certain. But that's the angle that we're going, and we obviously have a lot more to announce. We're going to talk about Ohtani both as a player and as a potential fantasy option as the time draws closer to the season starting. We'll have announcements, we'll have articles, we'll have how-tos, all that stuff. It will be covered. I think that February-ish is when you can expect us to really kind of update the game and have everything ready for draft season. So closer to then, we'll have something more definitive. Obviously, I know a lot of you have questions for now, and unfortunately, that's the most that we can do. But we will definitely have more for you as the season approaches.
All right. Sounds fair to me. Tristan, let's talk about Ohtani, the player, and what we expect here. And I wrote this in my article recently, and I just think it's a lot of much ado about nothing. I don't think he's going to matter much as a hitter. You, in your article, it's such a big deal. We both wrote about it. You, in your article, wrote 200 at-bats, and I'll take the under. I just don't see how on that team – he's going to play a lot more than that when you consider off days because he's a pitcher first. So, and then, as a pitcher first, I have concerns because he's never pitched more than 160 innings in his career. And he pitched only 5 starts last year. So durability is a factor as well. So what's your take on Ohtani?
So much we can say. we also need to probably get into the Angels' other moves around this because I think that ties a little bit into Ohtani's not only pitching performance here but also how they work him into the lineup, because the first thing I see from the hitting perspective is where does Albert Pujols play then? He's their DH. He should not be playing first base.
He's playing first base.
regularly? I mean, on the days that Ohtani DHs, sure he will, but I mean – I don't see that happening very often, and I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's good for the defense or anything. I think Ohtani is going to be a guy who I don't get on many teams. I think there's going to be way too much buzz. We've already heard of cases where he's being drafted in the fourth round That's just too soon. I do think this guy can make an immediate impact. I do think he is one of the more interesting young starters out there. But we also had that report about the UCL, the physical that he had, where there might be a question with that. I'm not worried about that. But I'm also not putting him in my top 20 starters. I think it's just too aggressive.
I agree. I mean, he's not going to be in my top 20 starters. He's not in my top 100 overall. Maybe I'll put him right at number 100. But to me, this just is, you don't want the shiny new toy. You know, like I am scared to overbid. I'm scared to take him early because there's always going to be somebody that wants him a little bit more that's expecting great things. And I can't understand the mindset of the people that think, wow, not only is this guy going to win 16 games with a 250 ERA, but he's going to hit 15 to 20 home runs as well. Nobody's ever done that. And by the way, like even Babe Ruth didn't do that. He was like a pitcher and he was a hitter separately. He never did both at the same time. That was 100 years ago. I just
quasi crossover, but I see what you mean about meeting both thresholds.
I just don't see it. I mean, you wrote, I think, 200 at bats, and I mm-hmm. think that's kind of makes sense to me.
I think he's going to be horrendously overdrafted as a hitter. If people are drafting the hitting portion of it, I think they are going to come out disappointed here. I think that the real hook for fantasy is the pitching side for Ohtani. And here's the problem: because he's going to be a hitter. And he's going to be the first guy who plays in the, well, not in the field, DH, but he'll be playing as a hitter. It's going to change his routine comparative to other pitchers. And he has to deal with adapting to the U.S. game. It's a different game. That's the bottom line. We have no idea how that impact is going to affect him. And maybe it isn't a great tradition. You said about the shiny new toys. Well, yeah, some of them have been great. A lot of them have been hitters over the past couple of years. I mean, yeah, it's conceivable he's a great guy who makes an impact right away, is maybe even a top 10 starting pitcher. But are you going to pay for that? You take away all the profit potential.
Albert Pujols, who in real life is a terrible player, he's barely replacement level, if he's replacement level at all. He batted 241 with 23 home runs. He knocked in 100 based on where he batted in the order and the fact that he played every day. Pujols is going to have more value than Ohtani as a hitter. There's no question about that. Ohtani's not going to have 23 home runs and 100 RBI. And he probably won't bat a whole lot better than 240 either. He hasn't been a regular hitter. He hasn't faced the pitchers in the major leagues. And to me, Pujols is a guy who might not even be drafted in a lot of ESPN standard leagues. In a 10-team league, does Pujols have to be owned? He was owned in like half of them last year.
I actually think he will be drafted in practically all leagues because of the name. And I like that you made the comp between the two of them that Pujols is the better player here. And I think the main reason I would get on board with that is that he will double the amount of playing time.
I'm trying to think of, like, I'm going through the player radar at first base and trying to think of players here who didn't play a ton but did some stuff. Like, Wilmer Flores had 18 homers, 52 RBI. Could Ohtani do that? I don't think so. Adam Lind, 14 homers, 59 RBI. Could he do that? It just seems like that's – and those are guys that aren't
Adam
even –
Adam Lind is a good – in terms of the role and the amount of playing time, might be a good comp.
All right, let's talk about the pitching side of this because, to me, that's all that's going to matter. The reason I'm scared of him is because of durability. And when I think about players that I want to build around, I'm okay with taking one or two anchors in the first five or six rounds now because I think hitting is deeper. But, who are the comps for him in the rankings? Like, I think for you he was not a top 20 guy. I have your rankings right here. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see, like, every time I thought about a pitcher –
it was Gerrit Cole. It was in that range.
I would take Gerrit Cole over him. I would take Jose Berríos over him. I would take Kyle Hendricks over him. Jose Quintana over him. Like, I don't think I'm going to have Ohtani in my top 25. I just think there's too much risk for me. Danny Duffy, that's around the area. Tanaka, same injury concerns, same strikeout upside. That makes sense. And not just because of where they come from, right? I mean...
yeah, I think Tanaka's injury concerns might be a hair more disconcerting, I think, over the long haul, just based on age and the number of innings he's piled up here. But yeah, it's valid. And this is actually what bothers me most about it, is that people are not discussing the injury risk. They're looking at him like he's a completely safe player. I mean, until this story about the UCL question, nobody really had any doubt that he was going to come over here and probably throw 200 innings. I mean, I don't think that that's necessarily assured. Eric, I'm with you on that.
We should rank him as we do, like you have Luke Weaver as your number 38 starting pitcher. How is Ohtani different? Obviously, he throws harder, but he's less proven, I would think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to me, this is like Luke Weaver.
Weaver has an advantage in that he's had success in the U.S. game, period.
All right.
That's an advantage.
So anyway, you and I are probably not going to get him on any teams. I don't I don't think I'm going to have him on any teams. I mean, I hope he does well, but
we still are ranking him very well to put him. I mean, I've always said this: a top 100 ranking is still a credit to the player. There's a lot of talent here. It's just I think people should take a step back and be realistic with the projections.
Let's just start with all the ex-Marlins. Giancarlo Stanton is a Yankee now. Obviously, that was a monster season there. Congrats to your Yankees, but you better win. Does this make him more valuable?
What?
You have Stanton and Judge.
He landed in the one place where the Yankees already had that position and that type of player nailed down. So it's kind of redundant.
Well, do you like Stanton more now than you did if he was going to remain? Now, obviously, the Marlins lineup around him is an angle I think you would have gotten to. But last year's Marlins, that was a good lineup. I mean, that was a really good out. That's the best outfield in baseball. Good leadoff hitter who steals bases, good catcher. I mean, that was a good lineup that Stanton was around last year, and he batted second. He'll probably bat third for these Yankees. Deeper lineup, American League. I think we have to like him a little bit more, don't we?
I think that this answered the question about how much he regresses to the mean, which he is going to do. I don't think he could have kept up those numbers. The other thing, too, is just like Ohtani, we are forgiving him all of the past injury questions. He had a very great, fortunate year in the health department. Can we assume that that happens? I've looked at a lot of projections that are putting him still at 135 games. That could happen again. Yankees have the DH role for him. Maybe that kind of alleviates some of the injury question. But as I wrote in the column for Stanton, most of the injuries he suffered happened in situations he could have been in as a DH. They were not defensive fielding injuries. I think one of them was out of the big five. So, yeah, I like it. I think it stabilizes his value, but I don't think it changes or improves it.
Stanton or Judge, who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Stanton. A little more. I think he's a little bit more proven over the major league career than Judge has. But Judge is a little safer from the injury perspective.
Stanton, Judge, or... See, now I don't know your rankings. You had Stanton 11, but that was as Miami. Judge 22.
I wouldn't move him at all either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to make the case, like, if J.D. Martinez stays in Arizona, would I rather have J.D. Martinez or Stanton? And I want to make the argument for Martinez, although he's not exactly the most durable fellow either, but he puts up numbers when he's there. To me, they're very similar.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, other former Marlins, Marcell Ozuna is a Cardinal now, and... Let me ask you this.
Another outfielder in St. Louis. An outfielder in St. Louis. Go figure.
A year ago today on a podcast, we could have been saying, who would you rather have for 2017, Tristan? Would you rather have Marcell Ozuna or Steven Piscotty and Meatballs? And I think we could have made a legitimate argument for Piscotty. Now, the Cardinals traded not a ton to get Ozuna, and then they shipped Piscotty out to Oakland for personal reasons, maybe as much as baseball reasons. But I think my point here is, a year ago, we viewed them similarly, and now nobody will. Is that a mistake? Is Ozuna overrated? Is Piscotty underrated?
Yes and yes. To what extent for either one? Not a lot really changes for Ozuna. The ballparks are actually very similar, and this is what kind of surprises me. I know I follow a lot of St. Louis people, and they seem to talk about it like he got a huge bump up going to St. Louis. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I think, again, this just stabilizes his value. It alleviates the question of regression to the mean. I think there's an awful lot more upside potential in Steven Piscotty. I really like that move over to Oakland, where he's going to play regularly. The only really bothersome thing that I saw there was just that Oakland does play the platoons, and Piscotty did have some noticeably weaker numbers against right-handed pitchers, so he could lose a handful of at-bats. But I love him as a bounce-back candidate.
I do, too, and I think Piscotty, I mean, obviously now we know, we didn't know this during the season, but now we know that there were some personal things going on in his life that might have affected his performance. I mean, look, these are people, okay? Just like you and me, there are things that will affect our work, our friendships, and things like that. Certainly our statistics would be affected by what he was going through, and maybe now he'll be a little bit better next year. I'm not trying to say that I would take Piscotty over Ozuna, but if Ozuna's going to go in round four, and Piscotty's going to go in round 14, you know who the better value is here, and I would much rather, for that value, have Piscotty. But I want to make sure he's going to get 500 at-bats. It could be a platoon. You know, who knows? It's not the best ballpark for home runs, even though Chris Davis does just fine there. So I think it's just kind of interesting, the perception and how quick it changes. And you know, and I think definitely more than you, when we get to February, March, I look at this year's rankings more than, but not a ton more, than I do last year's rankings. I want to see which players last year we all liked and what changed and made them undesirable. And when it comes to somebody like Piscotty, I think you're going to see him on a couple of my teams as well.
I'd agree. My hunch, by the way, is that he's going to go much later than even that draft price that you threw there. If it's 14th round, I think there will be leagues where he goes considerably later than that. And to your point about where we thought about these guys, this serves as a reminder to people. Both you and I had Piscotty noticeably ahead of Azuna last season. It wasn't by 50
See, now,
to 75.
I didn't look. I was lazy. But I thought
I'll
that they
were...
I'll
give you them if you want it.
No, I mean, but you just said, basically, we had Piscotty over Azuna.
We had them roughly 25 to 40 spots apart in the overall.
So why now is it this? That's ridiculous, and you know it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when I do my rankings, whenever Leo tells me to, I can't possibly put Piscotty over Azuna. But I'm just trying to make a point here.
Maybe absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, this is ridiculous how we change our views of players so quickly when nothing really happened.
Yep. It is the perception here, and I do think that this is where you find your profit potential players in fantasy baseball and where you find the guys you're going to overpay. You're paying for Azuna's stats last season.
Azuna in 2015 and 16 was I don't want to say terrible, but like, what do you have, like 30 homers combined those years?
He had a great first half of 2016, right. And one of the main reasons I didn't rank him up where I did Piscotty was because of how he finished last season. It asked the question about whether he was going to go down the injury path where we'd have durability questions. I think he answered that, and that does give him an advantage, but it's not as wide as people are going to make it out to be in ADP.
Azuna or Tommy Pham in 2018? I want Pham.
Oh, that's a great one.
See, now you're thinking of, so maybe it's not so obvious. Okay.
No, well, that's a good one.
I believe in Pham.
I kind of do too, but there is some regression coming. But the fact that he can run is a huge advantage.
Anybody who could be a 20-20 guy beats anybody who's a 30-5 guy, to me. D. Gordon.
Agreed.
He's now in Seattle. He's their center fielder, but he'll keep his second base eligibility all season long. This really changes the dynamic for stolen bases in the two leagues because the top guys were all in the National League, and now one of them is in the American League. So this, to me, like, it's weird in a way. When I found out D. Gordon was traded to the American League, my first thought is, well, now Trey Turner's more valuable. Explain why that might be.
Interestingly enough, there were actually more stolen bases in the American League than the National League, I think it was, last year. So
it just speaks to depth, but not top guys.
Right. It was you could fill the category by getting lesser guys, but now that you have Gordon going over there, it does leave Turner as one of the rare contributors who gives you a potential 60-plus stolen bases. And the reason that that's relevant by losing Gordon is that Gordon, like Billy Hamilton, is a one-category player. You have to invest just in that one category at the expense of all the others, whereas Turner's not going to do that to you. So the fact that he was already a player I think most people looked at as a top 20 overall guy, this kind of boosts up his value, in my opinion. I think that this makes him a very clear first-round pick just because he gives you all of those categories.
I mean, D. Gordon could hit 300. He could score 100 runs, and that's a good lineup in Seattle. One category, Billy Hamilton's one category. D. Gordon, I think, still contributes in a couple others. I just thought it was interesting. So D. Gordon in a mixed league doesn't really change how we view him all that much. If you want to take him around 3 or 4 because you want the 60 steals, go ahead. I won't. I'll be taking guys who are 20. I would rather have Tommy Pham, who's a 20-20 guy, and I'll take a couple 20-20 guys as opposed to one guy with 3 home runs with 60 steals. I don't like investing in guys that are like that. You know,
this is where you're making the Turner case. You're supporting the Turner case in this, and I agree
with you.
Absolutely. You want more complete players, and this does kind of give an added amount of value to those more complete players in the National League, and especially considering Hamilton's still on the trade market. If he ends up in the American League, that also shifts the dynamic a lot.
All right, the Angels infield. Ian Kinsler is there, and Zach Cozart is there. Cozart will keep his shortstop eligibility as he plays third base. Kinsler will play second base. And who knows about the lineup? Think about 1-2. Think about 6-7. We don't really know yet. But can you make the case here? Because Kinsler doesn't run as much as he used to. If Cozart's legit, like, that was a monster year. 24 home runs. He missed 40 games. He hit for average. He took a lot of walks. Can you make any case to take Cozart over Kinsler in a mixed league?
Absolutely, yeah. Kinsler, yeah, the aging curve is going to make this case, whether he's really seen his better days in the past, whether any of them were injury-related last year. I do think there's going to be a little bit of a rebound. But Cozart made some pretty substantial improvements last season. The worst part of this move for him is just the ballpark downgrade. It's not as good playing in L.A. for power as it is in Cincinnati. But yeah, I could see Cozart being ahead of Kinsler, sure.
I mean, that wasn't BABIP driven. Like, if you look at Zach Cozart and you think, come on, he's never had a really good season. Okay, he's developing power. Everybody's got power now. But how did he hit for average? He took walks. Generally, you would think this is a BABIP, a correction, but it's not for him. That's what's kind of weird, right? I mean, I have to tell you,
he's
going to
regress a bit. He is.
I didn't have any. No, it wasn't his BABIP. Like, yeah, it was barely 300. This was not BABIP. This was all walk rate. This was being selective. Maybe he's a brittle player. I mean, you can make that case if you want. I just think lineup is going to be really important here, how the Angels do their all right-handed lineup. I mean, Cole Calhoun probably bats eighth.
Where Calhoun slots in is going to be
he becomes not even
critical.
Worth taking a shot on. Right?
I do love in this deal, the first thing I thought of was the defense. That infield defense is unreal at this point between second, third, and short. And what bugs me most is that we just mentioned before, Pujols playing first base. Yuck.
Yeah, well, I mean, C.J. Cron. I mean, doesn't anybody think about C.J. Cron now?
I hope. I mean, he's not a great defender necessarily either, but he's not Pujols, I think.
C.J. Cron is going to get twice as many at-bats as Shohei Ohtani.
I would agree with that, and I hope that they're all at first base with Pujols over
that.
At DH.
Yeah.
Because this is good. This is very good news, especially to the ground balling guys on the Angels. And Garrett Richards immediately comes to mind for me. J.C. Ramirez was a little bit that way last year, but I'm looking at Richards squarely.
All right. What else happened here? Carlos Santana to the Phillies on base guy. I love the move for them. The Rhys Hoskins will play left. You know, he wasn't exactly Pat Burrell out there. He was okay as a defender. The ratings say that Hoskins was fine, but I assume there's another trade coming here with the Phillies because they have four guys that like as regular outfielders, so somebody else is moving on. But Santana, you know, some people look at his home run total from last year and say, well, I don't really want any part of that. But Cleveland wasn't the easiest place to hit home runs. And Philadelphia, you can make the case other than Coors Field, might be. And there will be people on base for him. So I kind of think Santana has a shot at 30 homers and 100 ribs.
The other thing is, when I do the ballpark factors, Philly is grading much better for overall power than people give it credit for. In some of the measures I had here, it actually looked as like an upgrade compared to Cleveland, so I'm with you, Eric. I do think he could give you a surprisingly good amount of home runs in that ballpark. I like the move a lot for the Phillies. If there's anything really bothersome about it, as you said, it does create the playing time question in the outfield, and I'd love to see Tommy Joseph go somewhere else where maybe he could contribute to NL-only or AL-only owners.
Yeah, he's really not that good.
I do think in the deeper, in the only leagues, he could have a role.
All right, let's get to some pitchers that moved on. I don't see a whole lot. One of them is a closer. Fernando Rodney has found a new home with the Twins. And you know what? I don't see any reason why he can't get himself, you know what? He has 37 saves in the last couple of years for three different teams over the last five seasons. That's amazing to me. I don't know why he can't do it again. Now, he's the kind of guy I'll be taking in round 18 while people take Craig Kimbrell in round 5 or 6 along with Kenley Jansen. I'll be fine with Rodney. Obviously, he's not going to help your ERA and WHIP probably. But do you see any reason for concern here? This is a guy who fakes his way through getting strikeouts and saves, right?
My reason for concern with him is just he's not very good. But look at the competition
in
that bullpen.
That's not relevant.
It's completely relevant. I mean, if he implodes with a 6 ERA, he's out as a closer.
Why would you think that's going to happen?
That he gets a 6 ERA? I think there's a pretty good chance of that.
You think there's a pretty good chance?
I'd say it's 50-50.
I mean, his ERA was
2.5 compared to a 5.50.
He was really good last year after the first month. I don't know what the exact number was, but in the final 5 months, I think his ERA was below 2.
I'll defend him in this. His K rate has improved. I actually thought that was going to be a question for him, but it's been pretty solid lately. But the walk rate's a mess.
And it's not like that's true, okay? It's not like he's pushing anybody out that was going to get a lot of saves.
Exactly. There's not a lot of competition there. So in terms of the landing spot, I do think it's a nice safety net. I actually feel a little bit better about him there than I did in Arizona.
So if you had to take a guy right now in a draft, would you take Fernando Rodney or Archie Bradley?
Bradley, in a second.
Yeah, I would too.
But that's just because I think guys like Rodney tend to slip through our standard
leagues. Oh, yeah, nobody wants
draft.
Him. That's why I'll take him. Look, the ERA of 4.20 with 37 saves, I will take that in my leagues. That's not my. I don't care. I mean, I don't want to take a top 100 pick, or top 10 for my team on a closer. And then, of course, Kyle's guy found a home in Wrigley Field.
You bet he
and
did.
I saved time for this one. So, Kyle, let's let
party
you speak.
Today.
Tyler Chatwood is a Cubby. Is he a top 20 guy for you?
No, not certainly not. I'm not
Kyle.
Sure he's a top
20
guy.
I don't know if Kyle thinks he's a top 20 guy.
Give me top 30.
Now, Tristan, can you even make that case?
No, it's insanity. I mean, I'm sorry. And all credit to the Cubs. It's a bold move. I like it. He's definitely going to improve by getting out of Colorado. And the road numbers, Kyle, you can throw the road numbers after this because they're extraordinary. I like the move, and I do think it's going to make him a bargain potential pitcher. But everybody's on board with this one, and I don't think we can just extrapolate the road numbers into Chicago. One of the biggest problems with Wrigley is that it does deflate strikeouts. That's going to hurt his value. The upside isn't as great as people think.
So, like, in your rankings, and again, you haven't been able to update them since, you know, all these moves happened, but you don't have Tyler Chatwood in your top 100. I assume that will change.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, he'll likely be in my top 50, likely.
Top 50, okay. Yeah, I think I can make that case. Top 30, that seems tough to me. Give me the, Kyle, give me his final numbers. Wins, strikeouts, ERA, whip.
I think if he can get you, let's say, 16 wins, maybe a mid threes ERA.
All right, so
strikeout an inning,
and a strikeout per inning. That's
what I'm not on board with. Is the case?
I mean, I'll give you maybe he's the, you know, he puts up a lackey season from a couple years ago, but strikeout per inning seems a little aggressive to me.
I like the lackey comp.
Is this the first time I've been aggressive on Chatwood?
Well, no, it's not like I haven't just met you. I mean, I understand that you're very excited here, and then who wouldn't be, right? I mean, who wouldn't be? All right. We have a lot to do, obviously. Is there any other moves that I missed that are important that we can't get to in 3 weeks?
We could get to the Cubs bullpen if we want.
Who's their closer now?
Brandon Morrow.
All right. So Brandon Morrow versus Fernando Rodney. Well, you just hate Rodney. Brandon Morrow versus Archie Bradley, assuming both are closers. Who would you rather have?
Assuming both are closers, I'll take Bradley because I do worry about the way the Dodgers used Brandon Morrow last year.
Oh, you mean the fact that he pitched every single day in the World Series?
And by the way, you remember the time he threw on the third straight day where he asked the manager to let him do so, and he looked...
He was bad.
He looked gassed.
I mean, look, this is a 33-year-old guy. That was an amazing season, but it wasn't even a full season. It was 43 and two-thirds regular season innings, 50 strikeouts, nary a home run. Really, really good numbers from Morrow. Can we really expect that over 60 innings? Now, the Cubs will be... They'll use him carefully. I mean, Wade Davis wasn't pitching every day, but can we really expect...
to say the least, he wasn't.
35 saves? I think that seems like a lot. I don't trust that this is a pitcher that will avoid the DL.
I'm also not positive that he has the closer's job for the entirety of the year. They have some interesting arms there. C.J. Edwards, of course, has the arm to close. People had talked about that for years. There's a possibility this could slip into the relevant battle-type bullpen, where the saves are really going to matter who they come from, but I don't know that it's 100% assured.
Watch Steve Cishek end up with 18 saves. You could totally see that. Or Justin Wilson with 12.
It's not inconceivable.
Inconceivable! You know what's not inconceivable, boys and girls? We have some questions to answer, and we have just the guy to do it. So after this, Kyle speaks. What is this?
Sounds like Mega Man.
This is not, what is that, Lady with Emphysema or whatever that was called? This is not that song. This is something else.
This is the new normal, gentlemen.
I don't know if I like it.
Fully on
I'm
board.
I'm thinking back to my Sega Genesis days.
What's that song called that I keep butchering? She didn't have emphysema. If she did, I hope she gets better.
Lady from Ipanema.
Ipanema. Ipanema. That sounds similar.
Emphysema.
Pasadena.
So there is a certain, I'd say this is more like PlayStation 2 era, just based on the quality, Tristan, but I think I see what you're getting at. It's
you
definitely got
this,
a
didn't you?
Video game vibe.
Yeah, you're right. It probably is a couple of years.
Leo's
a
young guy.
Advanced.
Leo and Kyle are like, you know, barely 20, so they wanted like hot jazz music. Cool.
This isn't the Commodore 64 music.
No. Hey, I proudly owned and played a Nintendo Entertainment System. I'm not
Kyle, remember
young.
The Commodore 64?
Sure. Why not?
No, he doesn't.
Not a clue.
Kyle, remember that Star Wars thing? You ever hear that?
Oh, my God. We're getting back on that. I got a book report. I had to watch the first one. Otherwise, my job was threatened at the football podcast. So I have seen one.
Is that true? Wow.
There was
we're
book
gentle
report.
With you.
I know. You guys are so much better.
You should see, well, so you haven't seen any Star Wars movies.
I've now seen one at midnight on a... Yeah, it was. I had to do a book report on it. Otherwise, my job was in jeopardy.
Oh,
I wasn't
all the one that's on out a movie? Now.
Yeah, I know. A book report on a movie. Jeez. On a movie that came out, you know, 20
those
years before I was
tough.
Born. I know. They're brutal. That's
anyone mean. See the new one?
I'm going to. My family's excited to see
it. Am I the only one who's seen it?
You already saw it?
Oh, yeah.
Did it just come out
alert.
Last weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm the type of guy who races out to see these.
Well, I can't
I plan on seeing it, but I have not seen it yet.
I genuinely want to hear your guys' opinions.
I would say that we are all failing at being company men based on this discussion.
I'm going to see it. One of my kids is going to see it like five times. I mean, we're going to see it. Does it have to be the first day?
Yeah. All
right. I mean, if you can avoid spoilers, wait as long as you want.
I don't care about spoilers. It doesn't bother me.
I mean, don't go on the Twitter.
I try not to. Let's get to some questions here from Kyle because people have questions and we want to answer them. So, Kyle, what do you got?
Yeah, speaking of Twitter, J-Rod, he's gotten a question on Eric's boy Hakuna Matata here. He turns 20 today.
Is that right?
Yeah, how about that? Turns 20, and J-Rod wants to know, now that he's projected as a starter, where do you rank him? And with the baseball movement toward all the home runs with the ball and all those shenanigans, are we going to regress back to 2016 and see a downgrade in homers and thus help a guy like Hakuna?
Happy birthday, Ronald Hakuna. You know, Tristan, there's a lot of birthdays in late December. People you know.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle on the football podcast.
We need to Matthew's do a show on a certain up. Birthday of somebody here.
That's never going to happen.
Literally never going to happen.
That is literally never going to happen. I can promise you that. Christmas Day. No, it's...
Oh, we got to sing before this show is over.
We are not singing.
Yes, we do.
No one else knows. If you keep your mouth shut, nobody will find out. Let's answer the question here. Matt Kemp was traded. Nobody cares. He's going to be dumped by the Dodgers. In fact, everybody the Braves got. Well, not everybody. But Adrian Gonzalez, in the same press release announcing the trade, Adrian Gonzalez was waived by the Braves. Like, people on Twitter were like, oh, is Freddie Freeman moving back to third base? No. Adrian Gonzalez is not playing in 2018. I mean, I guess he could somewhere. Like, why would a team sign Adrian Gonzalez when Tommy Joseph could probably literally be had for, you know, a player to be named later or cash? Right?
If he could be had for cash, yeah, then it makes...
I mean, I'm not saying Tommy Joseph is that good. It's a sub-300 on base, but...
Of course, I think we'd both rather have Tommy Joseph.
Ronald Acuna versus Victor Robles. We discussed this after our trip to the Arizona Fall League, which was awesome. Top two prospects. You can make the case. Two outfielders with some degrees of power and speed. Acuna will be, I think, the everyday right fielder. Marquez moves to left now. And Ender Inciarte, the great defender, stays in center. I don't think Acuna bats near the top of the lineup for the Braves. So they'll dump him at seventh. But he's got the ability to steal bases. It's just he's a 20-year-old rookie. So, and I think everybody knows what my answer is going to be here. I mean, like, fade him. Someone else can take him in round 10. He's a guy you take really late. He's no lock to make the team. I mean, they might also wait, like the Phillies will with Scott Kingery. I mean, that's not happening probably till mid-May or whatever. But your thoughts on Acuna. What numbers if he got 500 at-bats?
By the way, I'm with you on fading both of these guys.
You have to, right?
I think that they're going to get way too buzzworthy here. I think, if anything, Robles is going to be the one who's the better... potential pick, just because people will they make this mistake. This came up a lot when we were out of first pitch. We were discussing with a lot of the other analysts in the industry that you do want to buy talent and not worry about the roles on opening day. Cody Bellinger taught us that. That's the case with Robles. He's going to be taken later because people are going to think he's not going to play. Acuna, 500 at bats. I don't like him as an on-base guy initially. I think he's going to be like 270, 280, gets on base 315, 320. Hits 12, 15 home runs, steals 20-ish bases. Pretty good player. It's kind of like, it's in the ballpark of Benintendi, but I would put him a grade below that.
I think that's fair. The difference, the main difference being that I can't see Acuna batting in the top five spots in the order.
Especially based on the questions about on base. I need to see how patient he's going to be in the majors initially.
Yeah, it might not translate. He took some walks in the minors. AAA numbers are fine.
Now, where I misstepped, and Eric, you knew this, was that I had thought of Robles as the guy who had more power initially, and looking closer into it, I think Acuna's going to hit for a little bit more power, and Robles is going to be the guy who gets more steals.
Yeah, I think Robles is the big steals guy.
But also, Robles is better, I think, in terms of contact ability.
Fade them both. I understand that people think, oh, this is Chris Bryant. This is a star who's going to come on like Cody Bellinger or Aaron Judge, and they will run. But, I mean, they're on teams where I think they're going to bat lower in the order, and I kind of would take the under on 500 at-bats for each, wouldn't you, just to be safe? Anyway.
I think it's a better shot. Robles.
I mean, Washington's the only good team in the division, so they probably – but they could – I mean, Michael Taylor's no star, so – anyway, Adam Eaton should be ready, by the way, they think, for opening day. That's a little bit scary. The fact that they're even saying that he should be ready for opening day, if you have to say that, that's scary in itself. I just assumed he would be ready for spring training.
The nature of the injury often dictates a full year recovery, so I think that's why they mentioned it. Is that would go into the season.
Next question. What do we got, Kyle?
John notices that Tristan has 10 starting pitchers in his top 40. He's worried about everybody reaching for pitching early in the draft. Does that change your strategy at all, or are you sticking with your method?
I actually think – I don't think I have a starting pitcher in my top 10, but I have that guy 4 in the next 10. I think this is the year to get an anchor or two and then wait for 10 rounds. But Tristan, you have the rankings, so explain yourself.
I would agree with you. I think that is the strategy. I thought it was last year. I think it's even more extreme, and you're not going to get away with it as easily this time. Do I reach if the rest of the league is going in that direction? I would adjust for it. I've been in a situation where I waited and waited, and if you keep waiting and you're around behind all of your competition, you are just not going to, you're literally not going to get any pitching until the very end of your draft. I would reach early on. I would not be the guy who's reaching for a 100 overall ranked pitcher in the 6th round. I would not be doing that. Don't put yourself in that situation. Take your Clayton Kershaw in round 1, then wait and get the rest of your pitching in rounds 12 and beyond.
Fair enough. Kyle, what's next?
I wanted to chime in real quick because there's an interesting observation from the player rater from last year at pitcher. There is a sharp drop-off from a player rated 8.1 to a player rated 6.8. Right around 14. So I think that kind of supports that there's probably just about double-digit guys that you want to bank on. And so if you're in an ESPN Standard League, that means you probably need to get one or two early because they'll be gone.
Yeah, I think I'll be looking that way this year. If two of my top 5 picks are starting pitchers, I think I'm okay with that now because there's power everywhere. And you can find speed. I don't want to get 20-20 guys, but I think you can find it. I don't know if I want to rely on... If my number 3 pitcher is a guy who's in the top 30, I think I'm okay with that, but I want two guys that are top 15. I think that's fair. This music, I don't know.
Would you step off of an elevator that had this music on it?
Well, I mean, I'm disciplined enough. I'd be fine with it in an elevator. I just like, if I'm the dentist, you know, I mean, I'm going to be unhappy anyway, but if this is playing, like if a dentist is just playing like some Floyd or AC/DC, I'm like, all right, I can handle the pain a little bit better. If this is playing, I don't know.
Well, clearly the point of elevator music. Well, clearly the point of elevator music is that it goes on in the background. It's meant to be in the background, not at the foreground, correct? Because you guys are at the forefront of this, and this is at the background.
This doesn't feel as cool to me as, you know, the lady song. That's all. That's all.
This one's just a little bit more, a little bit smoother, a little bit more professional.
Well, you know, I clearly don't know what the song is called. Okay, I mean, she doesn't have emphysema. I just don't know.
And she's not from Pasadena either.
I don't know where she's from. I just hope she gets better. Kyle, what's next?
All right, Nick's got a big old keeper question here with a 12-team points league. We'll tackle it by position. Xander Bogaerts in the 12th round or Bregman in the 21st?
Bregman, clearly. I think Bregman's going to outperform Bogaerts. I mean, I think he has more power. Neither are going to run a ton, although Bregman probably has a better shot at double digits. Bregman could bat second again. That matters. Or he could bat sixth. I don't know about Bogaerts. Now, Bogaerts clearly had a hand injury, Tristan. But, I mean, do we ever expect Bogaerts to be a safe 20-home run guy?
Not necessarily a safe one. The ground ball rate's too high. I think the very fact that we could go 10 minutes debating the merits of these guys against one another as a fantasy pick says that it's Bregman all day here.
Bregman, I feel like, is going to be in my top 50. You probably don't have him that high, but...
If I didn't have him in it, he was really darned close.
I mean, I had him there last year.
I like him a lot.
Give him
I think
66, which is fine. You can be a hater.
All right, give me two of these three. We've got another birthday boy in Byron Buxton, turns 24 today, so shout out there.
Yeah. Hey.
And Albies or Merrifield, give me two of those three. Buxton in the 19th, the 2 second baseman in the 24th.
24th? Well, Merrifield's going in the top 100. He should. But Byron,
should he?
He should. That's a 12 homer, 35 steal guy. There's not enough steals, not enough high end steals guys. I'm talking mixed league with Merrifield over Ohtani. It might seem ridiculous, but Ohtani's just a pitcher to me. Merrifield is one of what, 5 guys who might steal 40 bases? I don't know. I like Ozzie Albies' upside. And actually, I read a report recently that the Braves are going to try Albies and Swanson at both middle infield spots. So it's possible that Swanson ends up at second base, but they could both have eligibility there. Albies feels like a guy who his ceiling could be 15 homers and 30 steals, but I don't know if he gets there this year. Merrifield just did that. And Buxton could trump them all and have the Eric Davis season. like the 30 homer, 80 steal season.
Oh, jeez. Could you imagine? Oh.
Can you imagine if Boxton did that?
I'm drooling
now.
There's
a lot of holes in his swing.
In my keeper league. Please do that.
Do you think Buxton will ever be a top 10 fantasy player?
Yes.
Right, so you would take Buxton in round 19.
I didn't say this year. But you said, do I think he ever will be? He's 24 years old.
Yeah, I mean, there's crazy upside with Buxton that just doesn't exist with Merrifield. And
steals drive a player up there, too.
I mean, I could see Buxton with like 25 homers and 40 steals soon.
Sure.
He's got to make more contact. Or does he? Mike Cameron did that, right? I mean,
five rounds earlier in terms of this question, I think he's the no-doubt guy. It's a debate between the other two. I'm with you that I think Merrifield is a smarter pick here because it's safer 2018 stats. Eric, I'm actually going to fade Merrifield. You know what? What really bothers about me about him this year, and I worry about the top 100 status, is that team. That team.
I think you just don't like players named Witt.
It's not a good team, and he's not the kind of guy who I think is going to...
How do you know what team it is? We know what the Marlins are. That's going to be a mess. But why can't the Royals? Why can't Jorge Soler bat fourth and hit 25 home runs? Like, there's... Yes, Kansas City is losing important pieces. Moustakas, Hosmer. Go ahead. Give him millions of dollars. I don't know. I don't agree with you on that. I think Merrifield is legit.
The lineup.
Some regression.
If he was
a walker.
You can't
check it today. That's the problem.
but that's the thing. I'm worried that the Royals are going to end up being the guys at the end who didn't get anything. They're left behind. And if he was a walker, if he walked 10% of the time, I'd be with you that the steals potential is great. But on a team like this, when you're walking 5% or fewer of the time and you're not turning the lineup over, the opportunities just aren't there.
Okay. That's fair.
And then the last one to help Nick out here, I want you to pick two of these three starting pitchers. We've got DeGrom in the 12th, Bauer 16th, Severino 24th.
Well, obviously it's Severino.
Need two of them, though.
Huh?
Yep.
Severino's first.
For sure.
I mean, DeGrom, look, I have a league like this where the round is taken into consideration. I mean, if you can get a top 10 starting pitcher in round 12 and lose your 12th round pick, I'll take it every day. So, I mean, I would keep DeGrom. Yes, 12th round is nice. Is not as nice as 24th round, but still. He's one of the anchors. Jake DeGrom is one of the anchors you're going to build around this year.
I'm with you on DeGrom. I don't even hesitate, but I think that Bauer belonged in the question. He did have a very good second half.
Look, if you asked me Bauer versus Severino, I would take Severino. He's straight up.
Bauer second half, he was tied for 7th in the majors.
A lot of strikeouts.
In ERA.
Gave a lot of stuff while he was striking people out.
What did he
That's
have?
My concern.
K's were...
Tristan's got Bauer at 42 right now. Him or Chatwood?
Bauer.
Ah. Chatwood will beat him in whip, though.
I would take Chatwood over Rick Porcello, though.
Old. My mission here is complete. You guys this summer.
I lost that on a trade recently because somebody wanted Rick Porcello over what I was selling. And I thought, I need to drop out of the league. Honestly, I was like, I lost that on a trade. I really needed the trade. Tristan knows.
Yeah.
And
I know.
Someone else said, I'll take Rick Porcello instead of what you're offering. And I thought, man, was my offer that bad? Okay. The music stopped, which is bad news. I think we're done for the year, pretty much, the calendar year. And maybe, you know, the season as well.
We got to wish our birthdays now. Happy birthday to Ricky
Byron
Henderson.
Buxton. Ricky Henderson, Manny Trios on Christmas birthday. How do I know
I don't
that?
Know anyone else with Christmas birthdays,
I
but
don't either.
Happy birthday, darkness.
Night. Why would you want darkness on a happy birthday?
Birthday.
Something happy and positive.
No parents.
All right. I think Gabe has another podcast and like that.
Opposite now. Of light.
All right. Any final thoughts there, gentlemen?
Genuinely happy birthday.
I don't have a podcast in another 10 minutes. This is my last podcast of the day.
Oh, okay.
Well, happy birthday, Mr. Caribou.
Thank you very much. If you play that song,
it's on a very special day. And Merry Christmas and happy holidays and happy new year. And we can't wait to see you again in 2018.
We can't. We'll be back in 2018. I don't know when, but check us out on Twitter and we'll find out when you find out, pretty much. That is all for Fantasy Focused Baseball for the calendar year 2017. Thank you so much for listening and supporting us, whether it's on Twitter or downloading or whatever it's called. To Tristan, to Kyle, to Leo, to Gabe, to everybody who contributes to this fine show and our listeners as well. Thank you so much. Happy holidays and a happy new year, and have an awesome day.
Everything is awesome.
Dark side of the moon.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at ESPNRadio.com.